You are listening to a teaching from Bobby Kirkley, a pastor at Whitehorse Christian Center. For more information, visit our website at whcc.net.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We come in the name that's above every name. In that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And Lord God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that will lead us and guide us into all truth that shall make us free. We also thank for the same Holy Spirit that will destroy the power of seduction, power of the enemy. We thank you, Lord God, for the same Holy Spirit that removed the doctrines of demons, the lies that we believe in. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank you for the same Holy Spirit that drive out the demons that have hold to us because of the lies. And we thank you for this now, Lord God. We also thank you that this same Holy Spirit, if I drive out spirits, demons out of you, then the kingdom of God has come within you. I thank you for the new dimension of the kingdom of God coming within us. Also, thank you, Lord God, for the blood that has not lost its power. We appropriate it in and through and over and around and about everything you give us stewardship over. We also thank you for your glory, for you brought many sons to glory, and thank you for your glory truly being our rear guard in our life. These things we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, as my wife used to ask me before I get up what if I wanted to sing or anything. And I said right alignment because I really feel like in a lot of places we're out of alignment. We're more in alignment with circumstances, situations, mishaps, wrong things that have happened more than what God says in the midst of whatever happened. Well, praise the Lord. Okay. Why? Because if whatever God says, no matter what the mishap may be, it can change because God said so. And he gave you the word for it to change. And he usually gives you the word in the midst of situations and circumstances that are usually not favorable, that look like can never change. Okay. Because when you first receive the seed, it's very small. It looked like it has no significance to change your circumstance. But as Pastor said, all you need is one word from God in the midst of whatever situation you find yourself in. So I believe this is a time in the season, 2017, where we get in alignment with what God has said. Amen. I believe 2017 is a time to get in alignment with what God has said about you and for you. 2017 is a time to remember back what God has said, to bring it back to remembrance today. He has not forgot. He has not cast it off. It's still relevant today. You may not understand how it will come past today because when you first heard it, you thought it was then, but you find out later it wasn't then. It is coming still to come. Hallelujah. So we need to get in, what they call, right alignment. It's very important. Ooh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. You know, in Genesis 3, 14 through 15, there was a battle, the first battle, and it speaks about. And it says in verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thy go, and the dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Praise the Lord. I took the time because here you're speaking of this seed that gives birth in a womb. But the Lord was talking about the womb of the mind. The mind is a place where we serve God. And in that place, there are seeds that are released. There are damnable seeds from Satan, and there are righteous seeds from Jesus Christ that never can be destroyed. But with everyone in your life, as you have sailed on life, you have chosen which one that you are going to believe in. And it has become your reality. It's given birth. It's come alive into your life. You have watered it with your fears and worries and doubts and complaints and murmuring. You have given this damnable seed life. But God says he wants you to make an adjustment. He wants you to shift. He wants to bring you back into alignment. You have hit too many bumps. You have gone over too many situations. You have had accidents and different things that have gone on. And your vehicle, your life vehicle, is out of alignment. He wants to tell you this. No matter how bad the circumstance, and no matter how many times it went wrong, he still have a purpose. Okay. No matter how many flat tires, there's a spare, or you can go down to the GM place and get you another tire. Your life is not over because you have a flat. And he has not discarded or discredited you because you have a flat. Oh, praise the Lord. It's time for some of us to get out and jack up the car and change the tire and quit sitting where you're sitting and move on. That's what I'm trying to tell you, point blank. Praise the Lord. You've been sitting there too long. You didn't even call the GM dealer. You didn't even come the tow truck. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, hallelujah. Sure didn't call for no help. I'm trying to figure out what's happening. Hey, man, hallelujah. Well, anyway. hallelujah. See, I told you last time about a key. And I told you the preciousness of a key. I talked to you about how a key is made, and it's made through pressure, grinding. Praise the Lord. Those things we do not like in our lives. But the key is for opening a door. While the pressure and everything's going on, many times you don't understand why does these things have to come. I've asked that question many a times and so forth, but God has a greater purpose in our life. I talked to you last time about buffering. You know, when you're on the trip and all of a sudden the phone goes in a total buffering mode and start doing that little circle thing, and you're stuck and you don't know which way to go. Hallelujah. God knows. He's just rerouting you. Praise the Lord. You know, one of the other words I didn't say, but it was recalculating. You know, you make that left that you're not supposed to make, and all of a sudden the phone start talking to you, talk about, you know, return back to the such and such, return back to the this, turn back to that, trying to get you to go back. And the more you ignore it, the more it recalculates. Because you're going to get to the point that he wants you to get to, where he wants to. You may have to take the long road round because of your choice. He ain't going to violate your will to choose. Don't praise the Lord anyhow. So we have some buffering going on. Hey, something happens to the connection to heaven for where you're at. There's an interruption somewhere. And so on the screen, in your eye gate, all of a sudden, you can't see clearly. Well, praise our Lord anyhow. He's good, isn't he? All right. I want to get to this real quickly. Praise the Lord. I have a little video clip again I want to show you. And hallelujah. You know, all people, I think, and I said it before, is that we're in a time where we all need encouragement. We need encouragement to keep going where God wants us to go. Because sometimes it looks in front of us, there's nothing saying that that's possible. There's nothing that says it could change. But one thing, the word that he gave you. Oh, Jesus. You ask, like, isn't there some more? Because that's not enough. It's not convincing me of anything. Hallelujah. I want to say this other scripture, Isaiah 54:17, it says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, listen to this, thou shalt condemn. Okay, let me say it again. And every tongue that is not in agreement with God and what he said about you, you do not have to accept it, no matter what the source is that said it. Okay? It says here that thou shalt rise, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment. Okay, it's bringing a conclusion about your life, that you ain't nothing, never will be nothing, you'll never be accomplished. So a judgment has been spoken by words and actions and facial expression. He said, thou shalt condemn. He said, thou shalt condemn. Then it goes on to say, this is the heritage. Wait. This is part of your heritage, to be able to condemn words that did not originate out of the originality of the book that God wrote about you, that someone's saying about you that don't fit you. Well, praise the Lord. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Because see, if the wrong judgment come, it can hold you back. And the strength of it is not so much the judgment. Hear me. It's your belief in the judgment. I'll say it again. It's not what someone says to you that locks you up. It's what you say about yourself. It's what you agree about yourself that you can and cannot do that limits you from doing what God ordained for you to do. Well, praise the Lord anyhow. So we have some rerouting going on. We have some recalculating going on. We have some buffering going on. And during those times, we never like it. I never like when that happens. And when I travel, that's why I have an extra map beside me, big map, just in case computers get disconnected. You know, you get in that no man's zone, all of a sudden everything drops. Zoop. Praise the Lord. Okay, you got it, you got it. I'm just trying to help you, encourage you a little bit about what's going on. Hallelujah. I'm trying to find this one little statement. Well, I guess I can say it anyway. The biggest thing is you have to be careful of is that for you not to settle. Okay, praise the Lord. I'll talk over here. Y'all not responding. Let me say, the biggest thing in your life is if you settle for where you're at. Like, this is the finishing. So what? Tragedy has come. So what? Things have gone wrong. So what? You cannot allow yourself to settle in that place of defeat and conquering of the enemy. You cannot accept it as your reality. You may not know how to take the next step, but you cannot accept and settle for mediocre when you're great inside. Mm. See, when I say great, most people start measuring themselves from another person. The greatness I'm talking about is what God originally planned for you to be and do. I don't care what it is, if it's cleaning toilets, if it's helping the homeless or whatever it may be the case, it's great because God needed you to do that and he made you for it. And as you do that, you are great in God's eye, not so much in man's eye. Turn to your neighbor and say, be great. See, many times in a court case, they come about and they do a settlement outside of court. Why do they do that? Because of the cost. People ain't willing to pay the cost. See, sometimes for you to go on, there's a cost. There's a price. And that price you got to be willing to pay if you want the right settlement. You know, you accept millions and you could have got 10 millions. You accept 100 and you could have got hundreds of thousands. Because you settle before the actual case can be presented to the judge. Well, the devil tries to be your judge and bring a judgment. That judgment don't count for nothing unless you believe it. The one that counts is the one that God gives. And I just want to help you real quickly as I say this. The court case is rigged. Your father sits on the judgment seat. Your elder brother, who Jesus, is your mediator. His blood has been shed. You have the great crowd of witnesses all around you. The court case is the whole system, the judgment, cannot come but out in your favor. But we're not showing up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We try to settle outside of court. That's what the devil wants you to do. Didn't he do that with Jesus? He took him up and said, look, I'll give you all these things right now. You ain't got to go through the cross. He tried to get him to settle for something that was less than what God had for him. And the devil will come to you and try to get you to settle for what God has not for you. Woo! See, yesterday's trophies cannot satisfy me today. They're over. They're done with. That's why many times after you win many trophies, they end up in a box with dirt on them because you're not there no longer. Oh, praise the Lord. Some people settle back there maybe 15 years ago and never move past it. they're still reliving those times. And they were, many times athletes have this very badly. That's why they come back out again and get hurt all over again. Because in their mind, they think they are this now, but their body has changed and they're not that now. But they have settled back years ago that I'll always be this. Oh, praise the Lord. So what I'm saying, see, the most dangerous thing ever is the womb. The womb I'm thinking of now is not just so much the place in a woman's womb. I'm talking about the womb in every man, Lord God, and every woman in their mind. Because it's in your mind will determine whatever seed you receive has determined how you look at life, how you see life, and how you see your circumstances. Oh, Lord God, help us, please. So the weapons of warfare are not carnal. And we have the right to cast down every tongue. Oh, praise the Lord. I had this dream, and this dream was, it was years ago, but it's still live today. I was where I was working years ago in another place at a church, and I came out of the double doors that were before me. They were glass. I came out, and as I walked out, I saw a serpent that was probably, body-wise, was probably twice as high as I am. I look at the body, it was breathing, praise the Lord. And I began to walk around the building. In my mind, which didn't make sense to me, but praise the Lord, I was thinking, where is the head? Where is the head? I got to find the head. So I came around, and all of a sudden the dream ended. The next day I had the same dream. I came out the door this time, but when I came out, let me finish it. The first time I came around, I thought the head was over there where this big hump was. So the second night, I had another dream, same kind of situation, but different. I came out the same double doors. I stepped out, and praise the Lord, the Lord grabbed me by my collar and pulled me straight up. And I'm sitting there going, okay, I'm turkey meat for this thing. I am the wrong place at the wrong time. And woe behold, where I thought the serpent's head was, it surely was there. I was scared to death, like, oh my God. His head shifted out from the body. I saw it as it began to move toward me. I was shaking, I was nervous. but it probably got to somewhere about where Donna is. And I decided, well, if you're going to eat me, I'm going to give you a meal that you'll never forget, because I'm going to cut you up, beat you up, hit you, break teeth, whatever I got to do. I am not going down easy. I figured this is the way God wants me to go, then I'm going to fight going out. The closer we got, all of a sudden I stood there. I had no more fear. I dropped my hands, and a sword comes out of my right hand. And the sword wasn't long, but it was long enough. And as the serpent got, I looked into his eyes. Usually, in some places, when the serpent is able to hypnotize, he does it through the eye gate. But he couldn't penetrate me as he did in the past. This time, the fear was gone that empowered him. He kept coming. He got maybe about an arm or two lengths away. I stepped to the right side, let it come forth. I'm looking dead at it. It's right by my body. I take the sword and I go straight down. I cut off the tongue, which represents the senses in which he could find me. Through the tongue, the taste, the senses, he's cut off. But it cut like butter that's been hot. It was none of my strength. It just came off. Boom. The serpent drew back and came again for me. I heard this scripture. He has given me the necks of my enemy. Psalms 18. Next thing I know, I was on the back of the serpent, and I cut the neck, which was the will of the serpent against me. When I cut the neck, it was just like butter again, no strength of my own, if the strength of the Lord. Then all of a sudden, the serpent hit the ground. I hit the ground. I rolled. And the Lord says, you must put the sword into the eye of the serpent. And then I didn't understand, but now I do. I said, why, Lord? Because you got to turn back the way you have seen your life from what the serpent has given you until what I said at the originality of your life. And so I took the knife and I turned it back left. And then I said, Lord, he said, put it through his forehead. I said, why the forehead? Because out of what he said to you that gave you your sight came the image of what you could and could not do. I want to turn it back by my word, by my spirit, to what I originally ordained for you to do and to accomplish. Ooh. So I tuck it in, turn left. As I turned it left, I saw in the spirit the body begin to rise without the head. That's a wonderful sight. Praise the Lord. I turned to look, and the sword left my hand. I didn't throw it. It took off like it knew where it was supposed to go. It went inside the head, and whatever was coming out got struck. It was destroyed. My wife said it was pride rising up. And it talks about in Isaiah that the sword of the Lord will strike down Leviathan. Leviathan is a spirit that's king over all the children of pride. See, I realize I have been anointed to slay the dragon that was once a serpent. Let me say it over here. I have been anointed to slay him. Not in my strength, but in his strength. Because he's already defeated him. He's already seated at the right hand. He's always taking all power and authority in his hand. I am one of his children. And I have been deputized to take down the serpent. But see, if you let the serpent stay too long, he becomes a dragon. Hallelujah. This video is a little cartoon, little video, but I liked it when I saw it. And it spoke to me. I am anointed to take down the dragon. And so are you. If you don't mind playing it for me, please. In there it says, I am supposed to slay the dragon. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am supposed to slay the dragon in my own life. What dragon? That seed of corruption from the devil that I have received. I have the authority to destroy it and remove it. Oh, praise the Lord. Wait a minute. I have been raised up to meet him and to destroy him. I don't care how long it's been in my family line. I don't care how long the lie's been there. I have truth, and I have the ability through Jesus Christ to meet the dragon with all this fiery dart. That's why it talks about you had to put on the helmet of salvation. You have to put it on because you got to protect your mind by what God says to you. Well, praise the Lord anyhow. See, the end of your journey is called destination. The beginning is called your birth. That's why it's called predestination. Pre means before, destination means the end. Your destiny is constantly pulling you toward it. That's why every human feels something pulling on the inside of them to do something more, something great. Great meaning what? What God ordained for you to do, not something that you do better than somebody else. Well, praise the Lord anyhow. Our destination is the source of our frustration. Not knowing your destination makes us feel uncomfortable. We become frustrated because we don't feel that we are fulfilling what God wants us to do in many avenues. Well, the problem's been you have allowed what is even said at the beginning. The world has dictated to you what your purpose should be. See, if you don't be careful and you don't find yours, someone will come along and give you a purpose that doesn't fit you. And you will be frustrated in life. Oh, praise the Lord anyhow. I'll give myself a hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just played with you. Hallelujah. But anyway, I found out in life, if I don't find out why I'm here, why I do what I do, the way I do, then therefore it has no meaning to me, and then someone else can also bring it to nothing as well. Wow. Okay. Joseph's birth, Genesis 30:22-24 says, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. See, Joseph was birthed out of a womb that was in famine. Wait a minute, say it again. He was birthed as a miracle out of a womb that they said could not have any children. Have went past, had gotten too old. The sister was getting babies all the time. She was watching it all the time. But here she was, not able to give forth. Isn't it something? Sometimes your birth will speak to your destiny. I'll say that again. Joseph was born, birthed out of a womb that was in a famine state. His mother was barren and was not supposed to have children. Ooh, I don't know what your barren state is, and I don't know what was said to you that said you can't. Ooh, whatever it is, there's a God that's full of miracles. And just like with Joseph, the miracle came forth, it will come forth in your life as well. See, you and I were born because of a purpose. Not so much to find it, but so much to realize and come into the discovery that I am an answer to God's will and purpose on the earth. There is something God wanted done that made you necessary. God gave you something to birth that he already had planned in you. In other words, someone else cannot birth it for you. It has to come out of you. What's in you that has not yet come forth, that the earth needs? You and I came to earth to start something that was already finished. It was finished in God. You were born because there was something God wanted done, listen to this, that required you. Wait. What God wanted done required you to exist and be. That's why you couldn't be aborted. That's why you couldn't miscarry. That's why when the times came and you were violated, you could not be destroyed. For God had already called you for his own purpose. And that would only become a stepping stone for you to overcome in the days to come, to give others hope and encouragement. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. We have to realize this, and many times we miss that whole point. The fact that you came forth says that God had ordained for you to do something, and God needed you to do it, and no one else could do it for you or could do it like you. Well, that's why the busyness of trying to be somebody else or trying to take their place will never fulfill you and never satisfy you. You will never be satisfied until you find out why God made you and why you are here in the earth at this time. For God makes no mistakes and makes no errors. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. It matters not how many times you have missed it. The whole thing with God is the righteous fall 7 times, but they get up again and again and again and again. They get up better than when they first went down. Woo! Oh. So whatever you were supposed to become and do is on the inside of you, which I told you last time, waiting for God, the God moment to show up to manifest. Say that word with me, manifest. You exist because God wanted something to happen on earth that he gave you to do. And no one can do it like you. Oh, praise the Lord. Some of y'all are not catching that. Let me say it again. No one can do it like me. That's not a prideful statement. That's a reality statement. For he made me to do it. He made you to do it. But you scared to step out there to say something like that because you got in the religious spirit that says you're in pride. But it's amazing. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way. You didn't call him prideful. All he was doing was declaring what God had already written about. He said, a book has y'all prepared for me. I come in the volume of your book. You already wrote about me, and I'm coming and manifesting in the flesh, out of the flesh, what you had written about me at this time in my life. Ooh, come on, Jesus. Let's look. Abraham Lincoln was admitted to an insane hospital because the woman he was to marry died. No one knew that inside of him was the future president of the United States. When someone becomes insane, we don't dream of them becoming the next president. But God does. Because your situation doesn't disqualify you, only if you believe it does. It has no power to disqualify you unless you give it power. Had people come up to me and say, you know, I was amazed that you refused to quit. I said, yep. Ooh, I have things to do. My pain cannot be what regulates me. Even though at some time it was very hard. Being hard does not mean I'm going to stop. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. Most of us stop when we get in pain. This is why we should never throw people away. God hid in Moses a murderer, the books of Genesis to Deuteronomy. God hid in a prostitute, Rahab, the lineage of Jesus. James Robinson on the program Life was a byproduct of rape. It's how you look at it that determines where you settle. Every purpose and potential needs pressure to bring it forth. Praise the Lord. Okay. We will never know what we can do until demands are placed on it daily. Remember, everything you are looking for is right where you are at right now. It is in you. It took Goliath to bring forth David. What is your Goliath right now that God is using to call you forth? Can I say it? Come forth! Please do. We are in need of you. Buried inside of you is dreams that have not come to pass. You are still carrying these dreams and ideals that you have not done yet. That's potential, people. Before you were in your mother's womb, before you even came out of her womb, God had already put his original plan for your life in you. It says he knew you before you were in the womb. So it wasn't the womb that gave you your destiny. Praise the Lord, anyhow. It wasn't the circumstance of your birth that gave you your destiny. Before you entered the womb, before flesh came upon you, God had already knew you. You were already in relationship with the Almighty, spirit to spirit. Woo, he sent you. And I'm thankful. Wow. Our future is unreleased destiny. Your future is the unlived you, that which you still have to live. Say that with me. I have more life. That was weak. I have more life to live. Amen. I'm just trying to help you out there. Praise the Lord. When we believe the dream that God puts in our hearts, we activate God. And we cause all of heaven to come to our aid to fulfill that dream. Our obedience triggers his obligation to our life. Listen to this. Joseph had two dreams. Genesis 37, 5 through 7. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brother. And they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obedience, I'll say like that because I cannot seem to turn my tongue around, to my sheep. Otherwise, you were bowing down to who I was. Now, that's your older brothers. Now, they are not going to be rejoicing. In Genesis 37:8, it says, and his brother said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Let me answer that question. Yes. Okay, I just want to help you. And then Joseph had another dream about the sun and the moon bowing down to him. In Genesis 37:9-10. See, I want God in 2017 to make me an answer for somebody. I want to be an answer to somebody's problem. Now, if you look in the world, there's enough problems out there for everybody. Excuse me. So stop being jealous and fighting just to get over this pulpit, okay? There's enough pulpits out there. You can take them anytime you want, wherever you want. Praise the Lord. I figure I better make you laugh or something because I'm get too serious. And my wife will give me the signal. Slow down, brother. Slow down. Okay, I'm slowing. All right. See, Joseph is still God's man in the pit. He is God's man when he is sold into slavery, even though his condition doesn't look like his dream said. See, some of you have had dreams and they don't look like what you dream. Because that's not the place you're supposed to settle. Because that's not your finishing. Oh, praise our Lord, anyhow. Even though his brothers took of his coat of many colors, they put him in a pit, they sold him into slavery, even though he was lied on and sent into another prison, but then they took him out of prison and he became a prince. None of these things could destroy his destiny. What I'm trying to say, the only reason why things are destroying and holding you back is because you believe the lie of the circumstance and situation. You give it power. Genesis 39:1-2, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelite, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. Wait. In all those places, God has told you, no matter how bad they look, he was with Joseph. Well, I'm trying to tell you, I don't care how bad it is and how bad it's been, God is still with you. He will cause you to prosper in the midst of having chains on your arm. See, those that are my descendants in sense of color, this is one thing we have done and continue to do. It didn't matter the chains on our arms, around our neck, we still were creative. And we kept making things no matter our obvious situation. What am I saying? Some of you have cut off your creativity because of an event that's taking place in your life. And you have stopped dreaming and put everything on the shelf. You have allowed the circumstance to dictate your value and your worth and what you can and cannot do. The potential is still in you. You have to decide to believe it. Woo! See, what God sends to Pharaoh was not an angel, not an earthquake, but someone who was born in famine. Woo. He sent someone who was a miracle in famine. The famine is the usher that puts Joseph's gifts on front stage. So you got to realize this. The famine, the difficult, the chaos of America is the opportunity for God to put what he put in you on front stage for everybody to see. Woo, help us, Lord God. Famine came to serve the destiny of God's man. God uses negativity of the famine to put his man on display. The adversity creates the opportunity. Joseph, listen to this, became the answer for Pharaoh. Oh, wait. Lord, make me an answer for somebody in 2017. Because my life fulfillment is in their inability to succeed. My life fulfillment is in their ability of failure. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, wait. When you produce a product, there's a void. And the reason why it prospers is why? That product meets that void. God made you to meet a void in the earth. When you find the void, you'll find your fulfillment. And you'll find that your frustration is gone. Pharaoh, this is this, makes Joseph a prince when he perceives him as an answer to his problem. You get promoted when you start realizing what and who you are and people find you. Genesis 41, 25 through 28 talks about how Pharaoh called him up suddenly, cleaned him up, brought him before him. Because what? The one man that was standing behind him, that was a cupbearer, finally opened his mouth. Why? Because it was time. Okay. There's a moment called time, and you got to be ready before you get to that time. You can't keep interpreting the bad things that happen as a disqualifier for you to go on in life. You got to see it from God's perspective. See, the one thing in the dream, what happened was he positioned me, come on now, in Christ, far above all principalities and powers. When he positioned me, I could handle the lie, come on, of the serpent. But when I was just thinking from an earth realm, the serpent could eat me. But he repositioned me in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, he made me to sit in heavenly places in Christ. When he set me, the warfare shifted and everything changed. Woo! Thank you, Lord God. See, promotion comes to Joseph. Genesis 41, 38 through 40. Pharaoh said unto his servant, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has, what? Shown thee all this. There is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Wait. From being a slave, having no rights, locked up in jail, to now the prime minister next to the king himself. The Bible says your gift will make room for you. But the big question is, can your character keep you there? You gifted, but everywhere some of y'all have been, you have sabotaged your own self because your attitude, your self-righteousness, your pride has caused you to be disqualified because the lack of character. So you have been asking God to remove the adversity, but he doesn't. I say amen to that. Because he is going to use the famine to unlock the door to your next level of blessing. See, this whole struggle, someone came to me last week and said, this is a test. I said, praise the Lord, I'll be glad when I get done. Praise. He said, no, you must understand, God's getting ready to do something. And he's doing it in you. Yes, he has. I've cried. I wept. I didn't have answers. I've always had answers. I've never been in a place where I couldn't give an answer. My whole life was like, okay, what do I do? You trust me. Whoa. I had to give total control of it over to the Almighty. And I'm watching him move. I'm watching him move. Maybe not at the pace I want to, but he's moving. I will end with this scripture. Whew. Hallelujah. Philippians 3, 10 through 16 says, that I may know him, hey, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto his death. See, I'm realizing as I look back in my life, I realize that everything that's happened to me in adversity, I say now it was good for me that I went through this. Whoa. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also, listen to this, I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, I want to be apprehended with why he apprehended me for. I want to be caught up and captured up in what the reason why he causes me to live and exist. The reason why when people around me and bullets were coming around me, I never got shot. I never got touched. I went to places that I should have been killed. I walked in by myself and everyone was against me, but no one would touch me. Not because I'm great, but because God is great. 13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Listen to me. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. In other words, in order to go forward, you got to let go of what you did wrong in the past. You got to put it under the judgment. You can never change it. It cannot be rearranged. Only thing you can put on is the blood. Nothing else. You living now. What are you doing for now? Praise the Lord. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. I say to you today as closing, please mind the same things that God has for you. Stop minding the things that he does not. Amen. Father, we thank you for the day. We give you praise, honor, and glory. We thank you for all the things you're doing. If you can open those doors over there for me so people can begin to come in, I would thank you. We thank you, Lord God. We ask you to seal this. Bring forth that which you desire out of this. Bring forth increase. Bring forth more. And we will thank you for it now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. For more information on our available resources and conference information, and to hear more teachings of Pastor Bobby, visit our website at whcc.net. You may also contribute there to the ministries of Whitehorse Christian Center. Thank you and have a blessed day.